For us here this morning, Hearing God, we're continuing this message series. So far, we've been kind of challenged on the foundational issue of hearing God's voice. Because the reality is, hearing God's voice is far less about what you do and far more about who you are, the issue of identity. We're challenged, first of all, to make sure that we are His sheep, that we're not a goat going around by and thinking that we're a sheep, you know? Gotta be a sheep. His sheep hear His voice, and He's the great shepherd. We also learned the importance of transitioning our relationship last week, in our identity of who we are, from being slaves and servants of God to being friends of God. Jesus said, I no longer call you servants. I no longer call you slaves, because everything my Father has made known to me, I made known to you. How good is that? We're no longer slaves. We are friends of God. Now, you're always going to be a servant of God all your life, but man, there's an incredible blessing when you transition your relationship from just being a servant, doing your duty to God, to loving God and serving Him out of that love and gratefulness and gratitude for who He is. Big, big change in relationship. We also learned a practical way to test, is that you, God? How do we know that we're hearing God's voice and we're not just kind of thinking this for ourselves, or, you know, of course, hearing the voice of the enemy, because he'll masquerade as an angel of light and whisper in our ear as well. It does it all the time. We learned that challenge. You know, if it's God's voice, it's going to agree with the Bible, His written word. It's going to agree with His character, who He is, and it's going to produce the fruits of the Spirit. That's sort of a three-way test of knowing whether that's God's voice or not. We're going to get this reminder every week because we need it at least every week. We're also going to start off with this reminder, you know, sort of a reading and response here of who we are. So if you'll just, you know, please repeat after me here. It's all based on John chapter 10, verses 3 through 5. Jesus is the good shepherd. Now tell me how good Jesus is. Come on, who's Jesus? What are some things He's done for us? Just shout it out. Miracles. What kind of miracles? What are some things Jesus can do? Yeah, He healed Dell. He's restoring His strength, right? Giving life to His mortal body. Yeah, we got a new back, a new heart. So, I mean, guys are doing miracles left and right everywhere. Yes. Yes, He died on the cross for us. How great is our God? Greatest miracle of all salvation. Amen. Set us free. Freedom. Freedom from the power of sin and death. Freedom from chains of addiction. He is so good. He is a good shepherd. Yes. Amen. He's not there anymore. Amen. He's coming. A living hope. Living hope. Every day His mercies and His love are new. He's good. Some of us don't believe that about God, that He's a good shepherd. We think He's got that staff and He's like, come here, come here, come here. You know? No, He's a good shepherd. He leads us. He guides us. Yeah. He's a good shepherd. I am His sheep. I hear His voice. I won't recognize the voice of a stranger. Amen. And, you know, we talked about all these things in detail previously, so I'm not going to rehash them. But we're reminded this morning, you know, although God can speak in an infinite amount of ways, we talked about all the different ways that we communicate, verbally, non-verbally. It would take a lifetime to try to write down a translation of all of the different gestures and eye rolls and, you know, ughs and saying the same thing and meaning five different things, you know, depending on the circumstances. You'd never be able to write down the fullness of your vocabulary of communication. And if that's true about just us, then if I say, Nathaniel, he knows whether I just want to talk to him, he knows whether he's in big, big trouble, he knows whether, you know, he knows just by the way I say. Now, if that's the case, then why do we limit God in the way that we believe He's going to communicate with us? But there are some generalizations that we can make. There are, generally speaking, some very common ways in which God speaks to us. And so that's what we're going to look at throughout this series. Some common ways that God speaks and how to best interpret those things. This week we're going to be learning how to better perceive God's voice as He speaks to us through dreams and visions. Through dreams and visions. Now Merriam-Webster defines a dream as this. It's a series of thoughts, images, or emotions occurring during sleep. Now, of course, a vision, it's the same thing. It's a series of thoughts, images, or emotions. The only difference is you're awake. You know, a dream, you're asleep. A vision, you're awake. You know, we're not going to really complicate it beyond that. It's the same form of communication that God uses. And now dreams and visions, they can be in the form of just a still image. You just see something, you know. Sometimes you'll be, you know, walking through a store and you'll see something on or over somebody. And you know it's not really there. It's your imagination. You're seeing a vision, you know. Sometimes literally you're just sitting there and you know how we can daydream, you know. God can speak to us through that. We might think it's just a daydream we're having, and the reality is God's speaking to us through a vision, you know. So we kind of get this idea that's in reality all that these are. It's a series of thoughts, images, or emotions that you experience. Now, other than verbal communication, dreams and visions is probably the most common way that God has communicated with mankind as you read through the scriptures. You know, of course, everything that we're pulling out here is coming directly from the scriptures. You know, and so we see God, you know, speaking to mankind in this method all throughout the scriptures. You know, and perhaps it's just the fact that old adage actually rings true that a picture's worth a thousand words, you know. He could speak to you verbally and give you all the words, or he could just show you a picture and you'll know exactly, you know, what that is and what that means. You can speak volumes through a simple image. You know, for anybody who's ever been involved on like a drama team before, you know that you can hear words of a song and you can hear music to a song, and man, it's powerful. But you see people moving to it and giving you imagery to match that, and all of a sudden it tears you apart. It breaks you up. It's just that much more powerful. So if that's the case, why would God not use dreams and visions? Why would he not use imagery to communicate to us? I mean, if you've ever noticed the natural world out there, he loves imagery. He loves beauty. He creates some pretty amazing things. He creates some pretty freaky looking things too, you know. Some of those sea creatures at the bottom of the ocean, you know, they're his creation. I mean, imagery. He's a visual God. And guess what? We were created in his image. So we're visual people as well. Dreams and visions, they were prophesied in Joel chapter 2, right, that they were going to accompany the outpouring of the Holy Spirit when it was poured out on all people, and of course that was confirmed on the day of Pentecost. Dreams and visions, it was one of the most common ways that God spoke to the prophets of the Old Testament. He would show them an image, give them a dream, give them, you know, some type of imagery. And it's amazing because God gave this. We don't know whether, again, Paul had mentioned about this, I don't know whether the person was in the body, out of the body, I don't know if he was physically there or just it was a vision or a dream. But when you look at Daniel, Ezekiel, and John, they were all shown the kingdom of God. And it's amazing when you line up the three accounts, they saw the same scene, and yet there were, you know, thousands of years separating them, and yet they saw the exact same scene in the kingdom of heaven. And God does that through visions, through imagery of one way, shape, or form. We first find God speaking in this way when God made his covenant with Abraham, or Abram, I guess I should say. He wasn't Abraham at that point yet, with Abram. And we find that here in Genesis chapter 15. And for time's sake, I'm not going to read through the whole chapter, but just to kind of give you an idea of this, it's powerful. I mean, God, I love it. God is creating a covenant with his people. And of course, we know when God creates a covenant, it's not like your cell phone contract, you know, where there's loopholes that protect, you know, both sides, and usually you're not the side that's getting protected, you know. God's covenant, he doesn't change. When he makes a promise to you, there's no loopholes. He is who he is. He's just that black and white, you know. His part is he's always faithful. He's always good. He will always uphold his word and his promises, you know. But the condition falls on our side of things, you know, and that's the rough part. But so God is speaking here to Abram, and he's creating this covenant forever. Forever and ever. You know, Paul even wrote in Hebrews, you know, that all Israel is going to be saved. It's a mystery, but all Israel will be saved. And so he made this covenant with this would be the grandfather of Israel, right, of Jacob. And it says here in Genesis chapter 15, after this, and you can read all about that happened in chapters, 13, 14. After this, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your very great reward. But Abram said, Sovereign Lord, what can you give me since I remain childless? And the one who will inherit my estate is Eliezer of Damascus. Now think about that. What a cultural difference right there. What a cultural difference. Whenever we seek after God and his blessing, we don't usually seek after it for generations to come. We don't usually seek after it for our children. We're usually like, what can I get? What do I need? Here and now, right? Abram's like, God, why would you bless me? Because I've got no one to inherit it. Wow. That's powerful. I'm sorry, just, Holy Spirit kind of tugged on my heart on that one. Anyways, continuing on. I know, I'm sorry, it's kind of dry this morning. So get some excitement in here. So he goes on to verse 3, and Abram said, "You have given me no children, so a servant in my household will be my heir." Then the word of the Lord came to him, "This man will not be your heir, but a son who is your own flesh and blood will be your heir." He took him outside and said, "Look up at the sky and count the stars, if indeed you can count them." Then he said to him, "So shall your offspring be." Again, you see that God is using imagery, visualization. Look at the stars in the sky. And later he when he reminds Abram of the covenant, he says, look at this, the sand on the shore. If you can count those grains of sand, that's how many your offspring is going to be. Can you imagine that blessing? God's like, I'm just not going to pour out a blessing to you. I'm giving you someone to inherit it. In fact, countless people. In verse 6, Abram believed the Lord, and he credited it to him as righteousness. Now, did he believe after he received the fulfillment of that word? No, he just believed that God's word was true. His promise was true. We need to be that people. God said it. It's enough for me. It's going to happen. Not sure when or how, but it's going to happen. In verse 12, as the sun was setting, Abram fell into a deep sleep. So you understand this. He's asleep now, okay? Then the Lord said to him, "Know for certain that for 400 years your descendants will be strangers in a country not of their own." Little Bible quiz. What country were they slaves in for 400 years? Egypt. That's right. You guys have watched Prince of Egypt then, haven't you? Ten Commandments, okay. Anyways, he says, then God says in verse 14, "But I will punish the nation that they serve as slaves. And afterward, they will come out with great possessions." What did the Egyptians give them when they finally were set free? Gold, all kinds of good stuff. All the good stuff the Egyptians sent them off with. God's word never fails, ever. In verse 15, "You, however, will go to your ancestors in peace and be buried at a good old age." Read between the lines. What is God telling Abram here? You're not going to see this happen. You're going to die before this word is fulfilled, but it's going to be fulfilled. In verse 16, "In the fourth generation." I don't like those words personally. I kind of like to enjoy God's blessing and, you know, abundance, but Abram, you know, four generations from now. Why do we look down on that, though? This is the mindset that we need to change. We have such a United States culture in our mindset towards Christianity. Every sacrifice that we make here and now, even if we don't see the fruits of it, generations to come. The sins are passed down to the third and fourth generation, but guess what? The blessings are passed down to 1,000 generations. It's worth it. You're blessing the generations to come. In the fourth generation, your descendants will come back here, for the sin of the Amorites has not yet reached its full measure. How good is our God? He knows the Amorites are going to continue in their sin, continue turning their back on him, yet he is patient. He's given them a chance. He's saying, you know what? Their sin hasn't reached its full measure. I'm not going to destroy them yet. But there's coming a day, if they refuse to repent and turn to me, I'm going to bring you back here, and you're going to do some battling. You're going to do some warfare, and you're going to drive them out, destroying them all. So, but kind of get this picture. So in the same day, God first of all came to Abram in a vision. And then after he'd fallen asleep, God came to him again in a dream, you know, to establish and to confirm this covenant. Now I love it. That's recorded for us in the scriptures forever and ever and ever. But what I think is interesting is I stopped and I thought about this and I'm like, okay, well, God came to him in a vision and he came to him in a dream. But we really don't see details of what he was shown, other than the fact that he took him outside and showed him the stars in the sky. That's the only part of the imagery that we get. You know, so Abraham saw that God said to him, "I'm your, you know, shield and your great reward." Well, what did he see? I mean, did he see, you know, a scroll with the words literally written on it in Hebrew? Did he see that? Did he see the Father speaking, sitting on his throne speaking to him? Did he see Sarai doing cartwheels and then forming the letter each time, you know, of shield, you know, I don't know. Did he see his flocks gathering in the fields to spell out to this prophetic word? Did he see God in the shape of a shield, all blinged out with precious stones? You know, "I'm your shield and your great reward." I don't know. We don't know what Abram saw. It was a vision. That means he saw something. And all that is recorded is what God was saying through the vision. So you can kind of use your imagination there. I have no idea. But see, that's kind of the point when it comes to dreams and visions. We have such a difficult time with this. We miss the point. We care more about what God showed us than what he was saying. We have a tendency here to, I'm going to talk about it here in a little bit, but what's important is not what Abram saw in that vision. What was important was what God was saying. God was affirming to Abram in some way that he was his shield and very great reward. And so this is sort of the first tip in receiving and interpreting dreams and visions, and that is not to major on the minors. We have a tendency to do that. We have a tendency to get all tripped up and caught up in something that we see and to miss the point, to totally and completely miss it. Have you ever done that with somebody in your life? You know, you're like, especially in the workplace, you're like, okay, here, let me show you. Dun, 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 dun. And then they're like, oh, you got to use that Allen key. I'm like, you missed it. No, it's how you do it. It's not what tool you use. You know, you guys ever have situations like that, you know, especially with your children, you know? It's like you totally missed the point, dude. I'm sorry, but you just missed it. You completely didn't understand what I was saying. We have a tendency to do that with God. He shows us a dream or a vision, and we major on the minors, and we miss what he's trying to say. And if anything should teach us about that, it is over and over and over again, God spoke to people through dreams and visions in the scriptures, and very rare, well, I wouldn't say very rarely, but it is more common to find recorded in the scriptures what God was communicating, not what was seen. Not the details of the dream, not the details of the visions, but what God was saying. That's the major point. What is God saying to me? That's what I need to value. That's what needs to be most important to me, not whatever the dream or vision was necessarily. Do you kind of understand my point? And we'll go a little deeper into this. You know, let's say, for example, that God did show Abram a herd of his sheep grazing in this thick, rich, green-looking grass, you know, and they spelled out the words, I am your shield and very great reward. Suppose that that is what God had seen. I mean, how many of us would misinterpret what God is saying through that? You know, we would obviously get the message. If he spelled it out in our language, we would get what he's saying, but we would go deeper. We would want to go deeper and deeper and be like, well, God, you know, what did you mean by this? You know, and instead we would start focusing on other things. Remember we talked about it last week? If we are still servants and slaves of God and we're not friends of God, then what are we asking? The number one question, what do you want me to do? Well, God said, I'm your shield and your great reward. That was what God was communicating to Abram. If Abram felt that he was just a servant and a slave of God, he'd be like, okay, that's awesome, but what do you want me to do about it? You know? He would want to read deeper into this. And guess what? The enemy loves it when we want to read deeper into something that God is saying, because he will fill in the blanks for us, and he will lead us far away from what God was actually saying. We would be thinking things like, oh God, you want me to buy more sheep? You want me to buy more sheep? Because there's a lot of sheep that it took to spell that out. And I know you blessed me with great flocks and herds, but you want me to buy some more. Okay, well, we're gonna go back to the Chaldeans, because they got lots of sheep, and we're gonna go buy some. Take you the exact opposite direction that God wants you to go. You know, maybe God wants me to give up my career to become a shepherd. I mean, those sheep, they look like sheep. I don't see a shepherd anywhere, God. You didn't show me a shepherd. They need a shepherd. You're calling me into the pastoral ministry. You show me those sheep without, and God, I'm your man. I'm going to be that shepherd to those poor lost sheep, you know. God wants me to buy that new house, the one with the thick green grass in front of it. That's the sign. That's going to be the sign that I know that's the house I'm supposed to buy, you know, is that thick green grass. Because why would God show that to me in the vision so vividly, you know? Because that's what God wants me to do. You know, maybe we see that grass and we're thinking, okay, God, you want me to end this relationship and move on to where the grass is greener. You've got better things for me. This person's a bum. I'm tired of dealing with them. This is your confirmation, God. Praise you, Lord. You confirmed it. I'm moving on to where the grass is greener, right? You know, we think things like this. Maybe, you know, oh, God, you want me to invest it in wool in my portfolio. You want me to be blessed. I mean, look at all that wool out there. They haven't been shaved in like years. They need to be shaved. You want me to just invest in that in wool. Thank you, God, you know, for that word. I mean, think about it. I could go on and on and on and on. We missed the point. And what do we have a tendency to do? we want to hear from God what we want to hear. We have itchy ears, and we want God to scratch them. You know, we want to hear to end this relationship. We want to hear buy that house. We want to hear, you know, go into that ministry. We have a tendency to put on these jaded glasses, and we hear from God what we want to, and we miss the point. God was just saying, I'm your shield and your very great reward. That was it. That's all that God was trying to communicate to Abram. But Abram could have taken it so much further. Now, I'm not saying that we shouldn't dive deeper into God's revelation, because there's always more, and he's always speaking more. But do you understand what I mean? Don't fill in the blanks. Don't major on the minors and miss the point of what God was saying. You know, just try not to do that whenever it comes to dreams and visions, because we have a tendency to do that. And we have a tendency to believe that there's something more critically important about that color or that animal or that person or that emotion. We have a tendency to read further into those things than what God is actually saying. This is, you guys, we do this in our human communications. Wait, you know, you go over to a friend's house and you have this, you know, chat, and then you lay down at night and you're like, wait a second, what did they mean by that? Do they think that about me? Whoa, do they really think I'm that way? All of a sudden, you start tearing things apart and overanalyzing things instead of just taking your friend at their word, what they said, that they didn't really mean anything beyond that. I'm getting a lot of blank stares. You've never done that with anybody before? You start tearing apart conversations that you previously had, and you start reading deeper into things than what was really there? Okay, I must be the only one that does that, but that's okay. You might do it someday, so just that's a nugget of wisdom right there, stored away, okay? We'll always be looking for more than what we were supposed to in dreams and visions instead of what he truly was trying to communicate. And this can obviously lead to some very serious errors when it comes to hearing God's voice when he speaks through dreams and visions. Look at all the errors that could create. Broken relationships, literally turning around and going away from God's will. If he thought that he was supposed to go back to the Chaldeans to buy more sheep, think about that. He would have missed out totally, completely. Generations would have been affected by his single choice because he thought he heard from God and he really didn't. He heard what he wanted to hear. Do you understand what I'm saying here? So it's important not to major on the minors, and we're going to learn how to do that here in a minute. As another general tip for interpreting dreams and visions, this is it. Trust your initial understanding and impressions. Just trust initially what God spoke to you. It's good to kind of draw the line there and not chew on it for a while afterwards, and we'll talk about how to do that properly. Trust your initial understanding. The more that we sit around and think about it, the more we're going to read into that dream or vision our own thoughts, our own will, our own opinions, and we'll also have more of a tendency to downplay or to try to explain away what God was speaking. And, you know, I've done this many times. You know, before I learned about how God speaks to us through dream or through vision specifically, I just figured I was that kid with a vivid imagination. I'm always imagining different scenes in my head. You know, I'm always thinking things. Sometimes I'll sit there and laugh, and Becky's like, what are you laughing about? I'm like, I'll tell you later. I just thought of something. It's hilarious. I entertain myself through my imagination. I don't know if anyone else is that way, but I have some fun, you know. I had a tendency to think, that's just me. That's just me. I'm just thinking that, you know. It wasn't God. And you miss what God's saying. We have a tendency to downplay things or to explain things away. The truth is, it is just our imagination. It is just your imagination. When God gives you a vision, it's in your imagination. Don't say that and be like, oh, it's just my imagination, walk away from it. No. God gave you an imagination. Some of us are more vivid one than others. Some, I don't know if they have imaginations, but anyways, you know. But God uses that. That is a tool that God uses to speak to us. You know, it is part of his divine plan and purpose to give us an imagination. Not only are we able to be creative in our imagination, to visualize things and then bring them into reality, but it's in our imagination that we can, you know, reason. That's where sort of intellect and reasoning happens. Also is in our imagination. We think things through. We think four steps ahead of ourselves to make sure we don't make mistakes. That happens in your imagination too. It's just part of how God wired up our minds to be. So don't downplay things if you just imagined it, because God can speak through your imagination. He can leverage that tool to speak to us. So don't downplay that initially. But when you have a dream or a vision, I encourage you to take note of things. Take note of what first caught your attention. What's the first thing that caught your attention when God showed you that? Because understand that you're his sheep and you hear his voice. So God's going to speak to you in a way that you are going to understand. So most of the time, your initial gut impression or understanding is the biggest part of the message that God's trying to communicate. I'm not saying that it's totally the message. There may be more to it you need to dive into, but start there so that you don't miss the point. Start with what you felt God was speaking to you, because he knows you and he knows what you're going to think. You know, if he shows me Donald the Duck, it's going to mean something different to me than it is to you. He knows that about you, and he'll show you what you need to see to get a message across. Also take note of how you felt when you saw certain aspects of the dream or vision. Remember from the Webster's Dictionary definition of dreams and visions, that it is also a communication in the form of emotions. If God shows me a spider, it's going to cause fear. It may not cause fear in everyone else. Some people are like, oh, cute little fuzzy guy, you know. And me, I'm like, ah! I'm sorry. I don't know if I should share it or not, but yeah, maybe another time. Okay, I have to. I woke up the other morning, you know, and I stand there doing my thing, and a spider dropped down on my shoulder from the ceiling. It was pretty freaky. The hilarious part was, as I was running away, it was forming a web. And when I thought about it afterwards, I'm running away and this spider's chasing me, you know? When I started thinking about it, I'm like, actually, that thing was trying to run just as far in the opposite direction. I had nightmares about that last night. I don't think it was from God. It was just me. But anyways, it was terrifying. That's an awful way to wake up. Awful way to wake up. So, but God uses our emotions to speak to us too. Take note of how you felt. When I saw that part of the dream or vision, this is how it made me feel. Take note of those emotions. We have such a tendency, especially in sort of, I don't know, I've always been taught that emotions are deceiving and you shouldn't trust them and they're not of God. They're of your flesh. Well, that's a half truth. God, he displays lots of emotions. God gets thrown into rage. Did you know that? God gets angry. Jesus cried. I mean, emotions are just as much being created in his image as anything else. Don't downplay those emotions. Make note of those emotions that you felt whenever you saw something in the dream. Take note of certain things that you thought. You know, you had the impression, oh, that's about my buddy Dave, you know. Take note of that. Take note of any impressions that you have throughout the dream or vision. Take note of those things. These initial feelings and understandings are usually more applicable to what God is speaking to you through that dream or vision than anything else that you can dive into at a later time. Again, we want to major on the majors. Your initial gut impressions and feelings, generally speaking, that is the primary thing that God is communicating to you. So make note of all of those things, you know. Of course, God can certainly, don't ever put God in a box. He can add a deeper understanding. He can add a deeper revelation at later times. I know that for myself personally, I've had recurring dreams or visions. It's the same dream, it's the same vision, but God will add some understanding to it over time. You know, it's a gradual unraveling. So we don't want to put God in a box, but I'm saying trust your initial gut instinct and impression, you know, whenever it comes to these things. And value those things more than what you may think of afterwards. So trust, you know, trust your initial understanding and impressions of the dream or vision. Another general tip for interpreting dreams and visions is to feel free to ask God what he's saying. Ask God, what are you communicating? God's never offended when we question him or when we ask him for clarification. He just doesn't. I mean, look at Gideon, you know, or you're a mighty warrior. And what does Gideon do? That's why we have the term fleece. He throws out that sheep's wool and he's like, well, make it wet and the ground around it dry. And then we'll make the ground around it wet and it dry. You know, he fleeced it. He wanted confirmation. Don't be afraid to ask God. God didn't say, what is your problem? Where is your faith? How long do I got to put up with you, Gideon? Just do it. No, God's like, okay, Gideon, I'll do that for you. I'll do that for you. It's a sign that you trust God, but you don't trust yourself. You know, I want to make sure I'm hearing from you, God. I don't want to get outside of your will. I don't want to go to the left. I don't want to go to the right. I don't want to get ahead of you. I don't want to get behind you. It's okay to do that. I can find no evidence in the scriptures where God criticized somebody for questioning him in that way. You know, Jesus got a little frustrated from time to time, but it wasn't because they were asking for clarification. It was because they were doubting. You see, there's a difference there. We'll go into that in another message another time. Okay, Abram did exactly this, right? He's like, But God, why? Why would you bless me? How would you bless me? He asked God the question, and God explained it. And he gave him a deeper revelation. He said, you know what? You're gonna have offspring as numerous as the, you know, Father Abraham had many sons, and many, you know, I'm one of them, and so are you. Let's praise the Lord. You see, that's what that whole child song is referring to. We're children of him through faith. In Jeremiah, this is a good example of this. There's tons of examples of it, but we're just going to go over a couple. Jeremiah, this is young Jeremiah. First of all, he's like, wait, am I going to read that part? No, I'm not going to read that part. First of all, he's like, God, I'm too young. You can't talk to me through dreams and visions. I'm too young. God's like, don't you dare give me excuses. Guess what? What do you see now? I love it. How you like me now? Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 11. The word of the Lord came to me. What do you see, Jeremiah? I see the branch of an almond tree, I replied. The Lord said to me, you have seen correctly. And he just stopped it there, right? And he moved on to the next vision. No, God doesn't mind explaining what he means by what he shows you. He said, for I am watching to see that my word is fulfilled. And the fact that God is watching means that there is a proper time and place, and you gotta patiently wait for it, right? God's patiently waiting for it, but he will fulfill it at the right time. Verse 13, the word of the Lord came again to me. What do you see? I see a pot that's boiling, I answered. It's tilting toward us from the north. The Lord said to me, from the north, disaster will be poured out on all who live in the land. I'm about to summon all the peoples of the northern kingdoms, declares the Lord. Their kings will come down and will set up their thrones at the entrance of the gates of Jerusalem. They will come against all her surrounding walls and against all the towns of Judah. Because for those of you who didn't know that Israel actually split, you know, 10 and 2, northern and southern kingdoms at one point. You'll have to dig into it sometime. It's good stuff. Now, I have to admit, personally, if I saw an almond tree branch, I wouldn't be like, oh, God, thank you so much that you're just waiting for your word to be fulfilled. Yeah, it's a good word. I wouldn't hear that through an almond branch, but so what does God do? He explains it. He's like, this is what, now in his cultural context, he would have probably known exactly what God was saying. I get the boiling pot thing. It's going to come down. It's going to come down hard and fast, and it's going to destroy. I get that interpretation. The almond tree branch I didn't get, but maybe if I lived in his day and time, I would have understood it, or if I was him personally. But God not only showed these visions to Jeremiah, but he also explained what it meant. Believe that God will do the same for you. Believe that God will do that. He'll explain it to you. He will give you more detail about what he's showing you so that you understand him correctly. He doesn't want to create misunderstandings. He doesn't want to lead you astray. He is not the God of confusion. He is the God of clarity and truth. And he will reveal it to you. See, many dreams and visions are symbolic. And this is probably what most of you thought I was going to be talking about this morning. Well, I'm sorry, but I'm not going to do that. There are plenty of examples of dreams and visions that require an interpretation. They simply require an interpretation. And, you know, Joseph and Daniel, those are very good examples of where God would give a dream to somebody and they'd have no clue what it means. And so God would raise up somebody else with the interpretation to be able to interpret. In fact, Daniel was given such a high level of an ability to interpret dreams that he was actually able to, without knowing it, tell the king what his dream was and what it meant. He's good. That's good stuff. God will give you that same gift and ability if you ask him, right? He will. I love it. But it is a pattern throughout the scriptures. God may give you the interpretation of your dream himself, or he may lead you to someone else for it. Right? God had a way of weeding them out, right? He weeded out all the people in Babylon, and he finally came down to Daniel. God will lead you to the person who has the interpretation in some way, shape, or form. You know, just trust God. Make note of the dream that you had, and then, you know, seek out the interpretation from him. And if he doesn't give it to you, then ask, well, Lord, who has the interpretation for this? Who can I go to that can help me understand this? And so another great example of this is actually found here is Zechariah in chapter 4. And again, there's so many, I'm not going to take the time to go through them all. But in Zechariah chapter 4, verse 1, it says, "Then the angel who talked with me returned and woke me up." So this is a dream. He has an angelic visitation in the middle of a dream. Now, whether it was a physical visitation or whether it was, you know, just in his mind, we don't know. And a lot of times that line is so blurry. When you read the account in the scriptures, you really don't know. Did that really happen or was that a dream? You'll experience that in your own life. God, did I dream that or was I actually doing those things? A lot of these dreams and visions are interactive. Way before video games ever existed, you know, God was the original Atari, you know, he was. You could interact with his dreams and visions. He asked me, "What do you see?" And I answered, I see a solid gold lampstand with a bowl at the top and seven lamps on it with seven channels to the lamps. Also, there are two olive trees by it, one on the right of the bowl and the other on its left. And I asked the angel who talked with me, "What are these, my Lord? What are these?" It's okay to question and ask because guess what? He answered, "Do you not know what these are?" How do you love that? I love that answer from the Lord. What? You don't get it? You don't understand? But he doesn't leave it there. "No, my Lord," I replied. So he said to me, "This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. Not by might nor my power, but by my spirit, says the Lord Almighty." We quote that a thousand times. That was a dream. That was a dream that Zechariah had experienced. Now, there are plenty of resources available out there to give a level of expert advice on what certain objects, certain colors, certain emotions mean. People far more experienced in this than I am. So go to those resources, please. I'm not going to tell you what certain objects or things may mean. You know, there's some general interpretations out there, you know, so go to their resources, please. And let me know if you need help. I'll direct you to them. A lot of good stuff out there, but I'm going to defer this to the experts for those details. But with this in mind, there is no better source and no greater expert than God himself. Before you go to a book about dreams, go to the dream giver. Go to the one who created you. Ask him to interpret it. Please do that. Rely more on the Lord and less on human. Now, I'm saying that those are gifts in the body of Christ and they will help you to interpret it, but make sure you go to God first, you know, and seek him out. So ask God what he's communicating to you. Another general tip for interpreting dreams and visions is record them. I think I've alluded to this many times, and I'm wrapping it up here. There's only one more after this. But be sure to include, you know, and we've got a bunch of tablets up here. If you're hungry to dive in now, I was going to wait till next week for this, but if you're hungry to dive in now and you want God to speak to you through dreams or visions, make sure you show God you're going to actually be ready for it. How many of you with kids out there understand that you can communicate to your kids and they're not going to hear a word you're saying? Because they're looking at the TV, they're playing with their Legos, you know, they're doing their hair, you know, you got to be like, okay, just look at me. How many times, Nate? Look at my eyes. Look me in the eyes. I need to know that you're listening, right? Show God that you're listening. Show God you're ready. Have something to record it with. You know, keep something by your nightstand, you know. Your cell phone works great. There's voice recording. You can write text. You can draw. You know, I've got this cool note with this stylus so you can draw pictures, you know. I mean, you know, but the voice recorder, a tablet. Nothing's better than this, you know, for recording. Show God that you value it. Make sure general tips for journaling. Make sure you write down the day and time. When did God give you that dream or vision? What circumstances was happening in your life at this time? What are some things that are really heavy on your mind or in your heart right now? Because often those are the things God speaks about, and we can misinterpret it, again, majoring on minors, thinking he's talking about something else, when in reality he's talking about what you're dealing with. Write down what you're dealing with in life right here, right now, when he gave you that dream or vision. Write down something that you've been, keep note of your prayers. You pray, God responds, often through dreams and visions. If you don't connect the dream or vision that God gives you to the prayer that you prayed, you'll misinterpret it. You'll miss what he's saying. Journal. Keep note of things that are happening in your life, things that you're praying about, things that you're worried about. You know, yes, Christians worry. I know Jesus said not to do it, but we do it, don't we? So write down things that you're concerned. We'll Christianize it. Write down things you're concerned about. Write down things that come to mind, things that you felt, any details at all that you see in the dream. Because often dreams and visions speak of the future. often they speak of things that are happening in the future. And believe me, I've done it. You do not want to rely on your memory when the time comes. How many of you have woke up and you're like, okay, I just had a really awesome dream last night, but it was something about, you miss it. Make sure you keep something there so that when you wake up in the middle of the night after that dream, you can write it down and document what it is that you, had seen. But they often speak of things in the future, and I love it because a lot of times in my own life, I keep a log on my computer of different dreams that I have or visions or whatnot. And a lot of times I'm like, well, wait a second. I dreamed about this couple before. I remember it, and I remember what happened. And you go back and you look at your journal, and you're like, whoa, God, 5 years ago you gave me this dream, and it's happening right here, right now. I know what advice I need to give them. Like, it's awesome when God does that, and he'll do that for you. But show that you value it. Write it down. Record it. If you desire for God to speak to you more often, show him that you value what he's saying. I get tired of talking to my kids when they're looking at the TV because I know that they don't, I can tell them that there's, an iguana climbing up my butt and they'll be like, Sorry, that was kind of crude for the pulpit. But you know what I mean? Show God that you value what he's going to say. Be ready for it, and guess what? He'll probably speak to you more often because he knows that you care about what he's saying now. And it's not just going to fall on deaf ears. Remember Jesus said, you don't have eyes to see and ears to hear. They're always seeing, but they're never perceiving. They're always listening, but they never hear. He's talking about you and I when he says that, believe it or not. Okay, so record your dreams and visions and then update them. Whenever you write them down, leave a big white space. Write down a couple of things and leave a lot of space after, because I believe that God will confirm and unveil them in your life. That's what I love about computers, because then I've got timestamps underneath it. Like, okay, I had a dream on this day and time, and then on this day and time, this part of it actually happened. And then another time, God gave me a similar, vision and dream, and that's what this part of it meant. And you can keep it up to date as time goes on. It's exciting. It's actually kind of addictive whenever that starts to happen. Okay, last general tip for dreams and visions, okay? And we could go on forever, but we're going to keep it simple here. Is to ask God to speak to you in that way, right? What did Jesus say here in Matthew 7:7? Ask, it'll be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be open for you. This is extremely applicable to dreams and visions or any other form of communication from God. If you want to hear from God, ask him to speak to you. You ever think about that? How many times, man, there's so many times, when I was a supervisor at my last workplace, I don't know how many times I'd say, why didn't you ask me? Why didn't you just ask me? I could have explained it to you. God probably feels that about us pretty often, He's like, well, why didn't you just ask me? Why didn't you seek after me? Why didn't you knock on my door? Knock, knock, knock. Yeah, anyways. I'm going to start sharing. You have no idea the things I imagine when I'm standing up here. I'm going to start revealing them. You'll probably put me in 2A down in Armstrong. Anyways, vivid imagination. The reality is, I want to encourage you to do this. Before you start the day, before your feet hit the dirt, or I think most of us have carpet or wood or laminate flooring, before your feet hit the dirt. Sorry, see, I pictured Fred Flintstone with his big old feet hitting dirt and, scrambling in his car. Anyways, before you start the day, ask God. To give you a vision, to give you a dream. Ask him, God, what does my day have in store for me? Because guess what? He already knows what's coming your way. Wouldn't it be awesome if you weren't blindsided by so many things in life? God, what's happening today? God, who am I going to encounter throughout my day? God, what might their needs be? Start praying about the people that you're going to encounter. Maybe do that before you walk into a store. Just ask. Lord, just speak to me. Just tell me someone I'm going to encounter, something they need. Just ask God to do it. You'll be amazed at how often He actually does it. He will actually give that revelation to you. It's exciting. Why? Because you are His sheep. You hear His voice. You won't listen to the voice of the. You'll hear it, but you won't listen to it. You'll hear the voice of a stranger trying to deceive you and be like, that's not God. He's a good shepherd. And He cares about you and He cares about people. And I'm telling you that this is probably one of the most addictive things, that I've ever experienced in my life. I overcame pornography. That's pretty addictive. But this addiction to asking God to speak to you and then He speaks to you and then it happens, it's addictive. It is awesome, just to hear God's voice in this way. I love it, and Becky can tell you, it's sometimes she has to tell me, like, no, just cool it. Don't be doing it, you know. But you'll get a vision for somebody, you know. One day, I think I've shared this one before, so I'll share it again. You know, I was checking out Don Dollar General, and it's amazing when you're still busy in life, but if you value God's voice above the busyness, He'll speak to you in the midst of your hectic, you know, day. You know, I'm down there, I'm checking out at Dollar General, and all of a sudden I just see over this kid's head, and of course it's a vision, it's not really there, this college bill, you know, this tuition bill. I saw tuition and a bunch of like little squiggly lines, you know, and I'm like, so how's that college loan going? He's like, oh, dude, and I'm not going to say what he said, but, you know, he's like, it's rough in Christianese, you know. He's like, that's why I'm here. He's like, I'm trying, you know. He's like, I'm trying to do school and work at the same time, you know. He's like, but, man, it just keeps, there's no way I could have known that otherwise. I love it. It's exciting. And he didn't think anything of it because I said, yeah, I didn't say, okay, I know this is going to sound freaky and everything, but I really feel like the Lord has given me a word for you. You know, you don't have to do that. Ask, confirm it, you know. If I was totally off, he'd be like, I don't know what you're talking about, but like, oh, I'm sorry, I must be thinking of someone else, you know? It's okay. See how you can just naturally flow that, weave it in through your... See, that's the thing, I believe spiritual gifts, they're not supposed to be these, like, unique... don't get me wrong, they're not supposed to be these unique, miraculous, like, the heavens open and a beam of light comes down and it's like, oh! You know, it's just living your life every day. You're His sheep. Be His sheep. Jesus said everything He did that you would do and even more. You're going to do these things. Okay, anyways. You know, but I just love it. You know, yeah, I just talking about the college tuition thing down Dollar General, you know, visions, a vision that you have. No way you could have known otherwise. God will give you these things about people. Why? Because He loves people and He loves you and He wants to use you to be His presence here on the earth, to be His physical presence, to be His hands and feet, right? He wants to do that. Maybe, you know, you wake up in the morning and you pray and God shows you this blue hat, you know, with the number 7 on it. Think about it. I don't know. Maybe this is applicable to somebody, but think about it. That's all you see. And you're like, okay, whatever, God. I have no idea what that means. Let's, you know, but He shows you this thing, you know, and then you, lo and behold, while you're at work, this guy approaches you with a blue hat on. Just a blue hat, no number 7, you know? And so maybe you just ask him, does number 7 mean anything to you? You know? And then boom, like the guy breaks down in tears, explaining that he lost his only son whenever he was 7 years old, and his life has just fallen apart ever since. His wife left him, he just never was able to get over this. I'm telling you, these things happen all the time. All the time. If you're just willing to value what He says. And if you just are willing to trust, I am His sheep. I hear His voice. I don't know where it's coming from, but it's annoying me. But, you know, I'm sorry. I've been all over the place this morning. I only got a couple hours of sleep last night, so it's a fun one. But you're His sheep. You hear His voice. Value what He says. And believe that when He speaks to you, He will fulfill it. It's going to happen. Maybe not instantly, but in time and at the exact right time. And I'm telling you, that's the addictive part. When you remember something that He gave you in a dream or vision, and then you see it starting to happen later on down the road, that's addictive. God, you showed me this. You knew it was coming. Don't ask God, okay, God, send somebody to take care of this then. He showed you because you're there for that kairos moment, the Greek word, that here and now, that M&M, you only got one chance. Don't miss your time. You know, that's that kairos word. You know, this is it. God has you here for such a time as this. I'm telling you, God will reveal those through dreams and visions. He will reveal who He is. He told Abram, I am your shield and your very great reward. There's nothing you can do about that word because you're not a slave, you're a friend. He's saying, this is who I am. Sometimes He'll say, this is who you are to me. You're my beloved. You're the, what He's saying in the Psalms, you're the apple of my eye, you know. Sometimes He will just give you those kind of dreams and words just to encourage you. Accept it as that. Don't try to read into it and figure out what you're supposed to do as a result. Just accept His word for what it is. Now, we're going to enter into an atmosphere of worship here. And I just want to encourage you. I mean, like I said, we've got these tablets up here. If you don't have one at home, grab one, start recording what God speaks to you. Next week, we're going to have some fun with this. You're going to write down a very specific question that you have, and you're going to hand it off to somebody else, and you're just going to see what God shows them. Because you're, now I should have said that. People aren't going to come. No. Come out, because God has a word for you, and he's going to give it through your friend. Okay? So be thinking about it. Come with a good question. I mean, nail them good. Put them to the test, you know. God will speak. But this morning, as we worship, know that the Lord wants to speak to you. Those cares and worries that you brought in here this morning, God wants to take those burdens from you. He doesn't want your mind to be consumed with worry and anxiety. He wants your mind to be at peace, because he is the good shepherd. And he tells us to cast all of our cares, all of our worries, all of our anxieties on him, because he is good and he cares about you. Because when our mind is no longer consumed with all those things, God can speak to us. He can speak of a future time when these things are going to be forgotten about, long past and behind us. So as we worship, just let him do those things. The altars are open. If you need to just get before him quietly to hand those things over, feel free to. If you need a word from him, an altar, it's just a chunk of wood and drywall. But when you choose this as a place to meet with God, it's a holy place. It's an altar. It is a connecting point between you and the God who gave up everything to have that relationship with you. Don't miss out on it, because you don't feel like coming forward and people looking at you thinking whatever. Who cares what they think? Have that encounter with God this morning. All right. Yes. Yeah, please do.